Welcome, everyone, and thank you for coming out on this Labor Day weekend. I wasn't here yesterday, but I heard that in the morning, Charlie and Darlene did a workshop on living a joyful life. Sounds good. Thank you. And that last night there was a social gathering here with poetry and music and sharing and desserts, and I heard that was good too. So, good. And for those of you who are members of the Florida Community Mindfulness, I will be doing private interviews after the talk today. And if you haven't signed up, please see Marilyn. So again, this is the third week. I won't go into it too much. I believe they're all on the web. The prior two talks. Advice from me to myself by Patrick Rinpoche, and he begins by saying, "Listen up, all bad karma patrol." That's his name. You dweller in distraction. And then we've, for the last two times, we've gone through quite a bit with him, but he's not done with himself yet. So continuing on. You beat your little drum, ding, ding, bong, bong, and your audience thinks it's charming to hear. Right? So he's referred again, right? We've talked about this, he's in the practice of the Tibetan Buddhist tradition, where there's a lot of instruments, bells and ritual implements and drums and, right, and all kinds of little things. So he says, oh, you're beating your dharma drum. And everybody who's listening thinks it's charming to hear. You're reciting words of offering up your body. These are various practices. He said, you're reciting these words about offering your body, but you really still haven't stopped holding it dear. You're making your little symbols go cling, cling, without keeping the ultimate purpose in mind. All this Dharma practice equipment that seems so attractive, forget about it. And we know that's one of his key words. Forget about it and goat shit. He seems to be a lot of his, so what's he saying, right? He's not saying if you're doing various kinds of ritual practices where there's drums and bells and you're reciting practices about offering up your body to benefit all beings, he's not saying don't do that. He's saying don't do it if all you're concerned about is, you know, how you look to the audience, right? Don't do it if all you're doing is reciting words. You're reciting words about offering up your body to benefit all people, but you still haven't, in your own mind, you still hold on to it dearly. He says, be authentic. Don't be a hypocrite. You're making your little symbols go cling, cling without keeping the ultimate purpose in mind. He's saying it's not about perfecting the clinging of your cymbals. It's not about, how well you beat the drum, right? I mean, Marilyn, it's not about how well you hit the bell. The ultimate purpose is twofold. You're hitting the bell because you want to benefit the people who are here, right? And you want to hit the bell in a way that there is no Marilyn hitting the bell and there's really ultimately nobody listening. There's just the bell. That's the ultimate purpose. To let go. To be free. Right? So he's saying, as we do these practices, don't get hung up on them. Don't turn them into just another manifestation of ego and attachment and self and the drama of what? You know, if Marilyn's up there going, wow, I'm really hitting the bell great today. I am, you know. God, compared to the way Sam hits it, I mean. I wonder if Fred is noticing and is going to say anything afterward. Huh? Do you see what I'm saying? So even though it may be up here that Marilyn's doing this, quote, sacred, service, right? She's doing it all in what? In the world of ego, in the world of self, in the world of drama. And she's attached. She's attached to how it sounds. Now again, that, like we said earlier, it doesn't mean that there's not, you know, if she's up there hitting it in ways that give terrible sounds, that she's not aware of that and kind of working on that. But it's not about me. It's not about her. All this Dharma practice equipment, all our spiritual paraphernalia, that seems so attractive. Forget about it. Forget about it. Why? Because we want to keep our focus on the ultimate purpose. Right? That's what he's saying. Right? So he's saying to Marilyn, you know, now don't take these words and give it up. Don't get, oh, all right, that's it. Bell and my attachments, and I'm just done with bell ringing. Just a source of misery for me and everybody else. That's not the right answer. Okay, the right answer is, let me ring the bell but not forget the ultimate purpose. Right? You know, let us not forget the ultimate purpose. You know, why am I doing these practices? Right? People will often say, oh, my practice is going well, I'm working on this practice, is really going well. That's the wrong answer. The right answer is, how's your life? Is there less suffering in your life? Right? Is there more awareness and presence in your life? Are you happier in your life? You see, that's why we are practicing. And all the bell ringing and the clinging and the bowing and all this and all the reading and the studying is all in the service of that. So Pachu Rinpoche is very tough on himself. But it's in a good way, right? Because you see, well, no matter which way he takes it, it's always to get back to the essential. He says, right now, those students are all, so he's a great teacher, by the way, Pachu Rinpoche. He says, right now, those students are all studying very hard, but in the end, they can't keep it up. So don't be proud of yourself because all your students are studying very hard. A week from now, who knows where they'll be. They won't keep it up. Today, they seem to get the idea. It's like today, everybody, like right now, everybody gets it, right? But later on, there's not a trace left. I mean, right now, we are all basking in our wisdom. And we're all so clear. And yet, an hour from now, we'll be out there, God knows what we'll be doing. And that's what he's saying. Today, they seem to get the idea, but later on, there's not a trace left. Even if one of them manages to learn a little, he or she rarely applies this learning to their own conduct. Those elegant Dharma disciples, forget about them. Right? This year, she really likes you. Next year, it's not like that. Right? So he's just saying, don't be attached, right? You can't control it, right? You know, in this moment, they're all wonderful Dharma students. A week from now, God knows what they'll be up to, right? Today they're praising you. You're the most wonderful Dharma teacher they've ever had. And, a year from now, they don't even, they don't even remember you. Or they think, oh my God, how did I ever bear him all that time? What a fool I was. Well, you know, so he's saying to himself as a teacher, you know, don't be attached. He talks about his elegant Dharma disciples. At first, she seems modest. He seems modest. Then grows more exalted and pompous. The more you nurture and cherish them, the more distant they grow. these dear friends who show such smiling faces to begin with. Forget about them. And we all know what he's talking about, don't we? Well, this is not to say that all people are evil or bad or you can't trust them, they're no good. But the human mind is a fickle mind, isn't it? They love you, they hate you. They think you're wonderful, they think you're the most terrible thing. Right? They used to laugh at your jokes, now you bore them. I mean, it's... this is the nature of the human mind, the unenlightened mind. Her smile seems so full of joy, but who knows if it's really the case? One time it's pure pleasure, then it's 9 months of mental pain. So I think he's probably talking about the act of sexuality leading to 9 months of mental pain. I mean, I'm just guessing because he used the phrase 9 months. It might be fine for a month, but sooner or later there's trouble. And he's a monk. I wonder how he knew all this. People teasing, your mind embroiled, your male friend, your lady friend, forget about them. These endless rounds of conversation are just attachment and aversion. It's just more goat shit. Good for nothing at all. At the time, it seems marvelously entertaining. But really, you're just spreading around stories about other people's mistakes. Your audience seems to be listening politely, but then they grow embarrassed for you. Useless talk that just makes you thirsty. Forget about it. Again, you know, we have to take these teachings with understanding. Again, we do know that, and I've said this in past, the man, Patra Rinpoche, was known for his directness. He was a man who lived the Dharma authentically. He did not suffer fools. He was not interested in worldly conversation at all, supposedly. But he loved, you know, he would talk about things that were meaningful. But he had no time for what passes for conversations of interest that many of us have. Everybody said there was he was so, for people who were serious about their transformation, he was endlessly patient and helpful. We have to be careful, right? Because again, we are lay people in the world, right? And we are involved with conversations, aren't we? We're involved with relationships. But how do we participate in the world without being attached and without it being a source of suffering when we understand that how things really are, right? So if you understand, right, that even though this new relationship seems the happiest, most wonderful thing that ever happened to you, it could change. Right? It could change. Even though these children that you have now brought into the world seem like the most wonderful thing that has ever happened, they could become a source of suffering for you. Right? Right? But he's also saying, you know, be careful how you spend your time. He's saying, you know, we do spend a lot of our time in just meaningless conversation. Or else, like he says, you know, we're telling entertaining stories, but we're really talking negatively about somebody else. Right? You know, it's like now, your audience, you know, he says, your audience seems to be listening politely. Right? Like I would say, all of you right now appear listening politely to me. But I have no idea what you're really thinking. Right? Do I? You could be, you know, secretly checking your watch. You know, how much more, you know, I wonder when this is going to be over, or, you know. You see what I'm saying? Or being very judgmental about what you're hearing, or right? Do I know that? No, because you're all fairly civil people, right? And have learned how to, be polite. Right? But we don't know, do we? And then again, he's a teacher, and he says, giving teachings on meditation texts without yourself having gained actual experience through practice, it's like reciting a dance manual out loud and thinking that's the same as actually dancing. Right? So can you see how authentic he is? Right? And he's talking about himself. He's saying, to be up here and to be discoursing eloquently on a meditation manual and talking about practices and realizations that you yourself haven't done, that's hypocritical, right? That's like presenting yourself as a dance instructor when all you can do is read the dance manuals and you don't know how to dance, right? People may be listening to you with devotion, but it just isn't the real thing. Right? So he's cutting any attachment he has. Right? In Buddhism, we often talk about non-attachment to outcome. You've heard me talk on that. You maybe heard, that's another non-attachment. Non-attachment to outcome. Non-attachment to outcome means I cannot control, right, the outcome of my actions, of my efforts, right? All I can have some hope to do is to make sure that my actions are as pure, right, selfless, altruistic as they can be. But whether anybody cares, whether it has any positive effect, I cannot control that, can I? So that's what he's saying to himself. St. Patril, don't get hung up on this. You just do your best here. That's what you need to be concerned about. Sooner or later, when your own actions contradict the teachings, you'll feel ashamed, just mouthing the words, giving Dharma explanations that sound so eloquent. Forget about it. When you don't have a text, you long for it. Then when you've finally gotten it, you hardly look at it. Right? Oh, I gotta get that book. Gotta get the latest book on this or that. Gotta get it. Then we get it. We open it up, we read a few pages, and then we, forget about it. Isn't that the way we are? We hardly look at it. Yeah, so we probably will have one more Dharma talk on this text. Any questions or comments before we end on what's been shared for Pacho Rinpoche today? Yes.
Was this published during his lifetime?
I have no idea. Again, as I said another week, we have to, in a culture like Tibet, there were no bookstores, there were no popular presses. I mean, things were very small. Hand. So to say whether it was published, obviously it's a letter he wrote. At some point, it would have to have been either copied or, made into woodblock prints. I don't know. Please find out and let me know. Yes.
I'd just like to say that I truly believe that what I noticed is that all of that related to that today is the attachment.
That struck home today. Attachment. Yeah. Welcome to the club. Gary.
One of the last statements that you read, Fred, whose comment you guys owe hypocrisy, forget about it. So I resonate with that strongly. Could you say more about what what he meant by that, the gas, was specifically about the...
Well, he's saying, yeah, the forget about it means stop making that a concern of yours, right? Forget about it. All these attachments that we have, you know, you're a teacher and all you care about is how you look and how you sound and how you're treated and how you perceive yourself, right? You know, he says, forget about all that. That's not what it's about. Right? That's what he's saying, you know. You're practicing his tradition, and you have the bell, and you have the drum, and you got the text, and everything's out there, and you got the table, and it all looks so good, and you got the thermos, and you got the tea, and it's all, and you got the text in front of you, right? Forget about it. What really matters is what you do, what you're doing, what's your intention, what's your aspiration, how you go about it. It's the forget about all this stuff that's inauthentic. That's not really what it should be about. Do you see? That's the forget about it. So it's forget about that. And focus on really what is essential to you. It's a good reminder. Any other questions before we end? Yes.
I have a follow-up question.
Mm-hmm.
Non-attachment.
Mm-hmm.
I understand the difference between detachment and non-attachment, meaning you still have relationships, you still have flowers, it's about your attachment to it. So my question is, understanding we still have relationships, why, if two people are following back the Buddha, why would they get married? Meaning, the traditional, at least the Western definition of you have that till death do you part. So, if there's a...
See, that's another whole issue. See, it's interesting because actually, and that's another question. I mean, it's an interesting question. But actually, my experience in Asia is traditionally, and I mean, here we're just talking specifically about marriage, is not something that has much to do with Buddhism. That most of these cultures have their own traditions that predate Buddhism, and the way they go about the ceremonies of marriage are much more in the home, in the family, in the clan, in the extended family, and they have their own traditions around it. But it's not really about Buddhism. I mean, the couple may go to the monastery or something to get a blessing or, you know, something like that. But usually it's all done within their culture. And so, till death do us part and all this kind of stuff. And my other experience was it wasn't as serious. Not that it's not serious, but I mean, all those kinds of do or die kind of vows were not present. It's again really about how we relate to one another.
So in the American Buddhism context,
Why don't we save that? That's a good question, but that's an interesting question. Yeah. So we should probably end on that note.